Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Today on Radio Boston, a conversation with Ray Kurzweil, the provocative inventor and futurist, who's now the subject of a new documentary, Transcendent Man.
Also later this hour, a feminist response to our controversial segment on Friday with Suzanne Venker, niece of conservative thinker Phyllis Schlafly.
But first, while the unemployment rate has edged down in Massachusetts in recent months, 2011 has been a tough year for jobs west of Boston, along Interstate 495. In January, the solar panel manufacturer Evergreen Solar announced it would close its Devens plant and slash 800 jobs. Then just a few days ago, Fidelity Investments announced it was closing its Marlboro office and shifting most of its 1,100 jobs there out of state.
Both companies had benefited from financial incentives from the state, and their decision to leave sparked outrage from some lawmakers who have vowed to examine the deals they received.
Among those who want more accountabilities from companies that get financial incentives is Jamie Eldridge. He's a state senator, a Democrat, whose district includes Devens and Marlboro, and he joins us now in the studio. And Senator Eldridge, good to have you.
Glad to be on.
So, first of all, this is about 2,000 jobs lost. Quite a blow to your district, right?
Yes, in two distinct parts of the district where people are very upset and very unhappy.
So, as we said, both these companies received financial incentives from the state in return for a commitment to boost jobs. First off, I know you've proposed legislation to deal with this, and I want to talk about that. But basic question, do you think the state should be carving out special tax breaks for businesses at all?
I don't. I don't think they should be for certain businesses, and I also don't think they should be for certain industries. And I think that's why the legislature and the governor need to take a hard look at these tax breaks that we passed over the past decade.
And why not? I mean, doesn't the state have a role to make this an attractive place for businesses to come in? And isn't one of the ways states do that is to provide tax breaks?
Well, I would say there's a whole number of things that Massachusetts does well to attract companies here, whether it's educated workforce, an investment in infrastructure, good quality of life. Certainly, we want to create a predictable tax environment, but I don't think that means just cutting taxes left and right. Mm.
So you've proposed legislation that would create a real sort of contractual relationship between tax incentives when they're offered and job creation, correct? How would this work?
Yes, it would be for any economic development subsidy, whether a direct grant, a tax break, a tax increment financing, it would say that any company that receives these tax breaks or incentives would have to commit to a certain number of jobs created. And if they didn't create those jobs, then the state could take back that money within 2 years if those jobs weren't created. And mind you, those jobs also have to be good paying jobs. And all this data has to be public and available not only to the legislature and the governor, but to the public in general.
And how does that compare with the way the law is set up now?
Right now, it's a mishmash of some tax breaks that are public and do have clawbacks, like the life sciences tax breaks, but also has tax breaks like tax increment financing and some of the tax breaks that Fidelity received that are private information. And I want to open up the books and shine some light on all these tax breaks so the public knows whether it's getting its money well paid for.
So can you talk briefly about the deal that Evergreen Solar received and the deal that Fidelity received that you think should be revisited? I mean, how were those tax breaks structured and how should they have been structured?
Yes. Well, the Evergreen Solar had a number of tax breaks, both real estate breaks because it's at Devens, which is run by the state, to direct cash grants through the Moore Economic Development Program, to direct tax programs through the Clean Energy Center. The problem was the negotiation that was made between Evergreen Solar and the governor was not strong enough. And so right now, we've spent over $40 million in tax breaks for Evergreen Solar, and we can only get about $3 million of that back. That language should have been much tougher, and it wasn't. And oftentimes, because companies get into competition with other states, that's why I'm saying this should be a law in the books that any tax break has to have these clear clawbacks in the future.
And in the case of Fidelity Investments out in your district in Marlboro, what kind of breaks did they get, and what kind of benefit would you rate they gave in terms of numbers of jobs?
That was a tax reduction initially initiated by Raytheon, and then it was extended to the mutual fund industry, including Fidelity, called the single sales factor tax break, that basically said instead of looking at the property a company owns, the payroll taxes the company's paying, all it would be based on is how much sales is going to that state. So Fidelity almost overnight reduced its tax burden by almost 80 to 90%, about $20 million a year. And that's the kind of tax break I think we need to revisit as well this year.
Hmm. Now, if you are successful in revisiting this, do you worry, I mean, or could a case be made that this kind of requirement could bind the hands of the state or make the state appear less hospitable to business, which is always a big concern?
Well, there's a great quote from Michael Bloomberg that he says, any company that makes a decision as to where they are going to be based on the tax rate is a company that won't be around very long. If you're down to that incremental margin, you don't have a business. The bottom line is Fidelity is making its decisions based on quality of life, educated workforce, infrastructure, and not this specific tax break. And I think the fact that they're moving their jobs out of state, even though they still receive this tax break, is evidence and proof of that.
Hmm. But, I mean, don't businesses routinely make these kinds of decisions based on the taxes they pay? I mean, that seems to me like a very, very normal kind of decision that businesses would make.
Well, I think at the end it's a lot more complex. And again, these tax breaks at the end of the day, in terms of a company's bottom line, are minor, and I think they're an added incentive, but I don't think they're the driving factors for why companies come here or why they leave the state. Mm.
I want to play a piece of tape about this is Governor Deval Patrick responding to the move by Fidelity to pull the jobs out of Massachusetts. This happened while he was away on a trade mission in Israel and Britain, and this is what he's had to say about it on Friday when he returned.
Let me just say something about the Fidelity announcement. I'm not just disappointed, I'm frustrated, because the leadership of Fidelity has been in my office within the period when they were supposedly teed up to move on this decision to move jobs to Rhode Island. They are in regular contact with the Secretary of Housing and Economic Development, and not once did they give us a chance to compete for those jobs. And we can compete and will compete, but we have to have information.
So, Senator Jamie Eldridge, what do you make of the fact that Fidelity did not inform Governor Patrick of this move?
Well, I think it's an incredible political and PR blunder, and that's to Fidelity's blame for doing that. But I think that the bigger issue is what's the kind of tax policy that we should be setting in Massachusetts, both for big corporations, but also looking out for small businesses.
Hmm. Now, to the extent that there is going to continue to be some kind of consideration of tax incentives going forward, and your bill obviously doesn't say there shouldn't be. You want to impose some these clawbacks, requirements for these clawbacks, make them a little more public. How should we go about deciding which companies, which industries should receive these kinds of special incentives?
Well, I don't think we should be passing tax breaks for specific industries. I think we need to have a bigger discussion about what is an appropriate tax rate for corporations and businesses, and especially what do we need to help small businesses? Because the reality is the vast majority of businesses, jobs, are started by small businesses in the state, and yet I think there's almost an obsession by legislators and governors to just hand out tax breaks to large corporations. So I think we have to reverse that policy.
Well, we'll follow this debate as it moves forward. Senator Jamie Eldridge, thanks so much for coming and talking about this.
Thank you.
That's Jamie Eldridge. He's a Democrat from Acton.
Well, coming up in just a moment, our conversation with conservative author Suzanne Venker about the downside of the feminist movement created more impassioned discussion than we've ever seen on our website. So much more that we decided we needed to pick up where Venker left off last week. We'll do that in just a moment in today's Talker. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.